with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. Preds Insiders brought to you by Zen Sports. And it is playoff time here in Nashville, Tennessee. Preds missed out on the playoffs last year. They're back in it this year. And we are still waiting to see officially who their opponent will be. But it's an exciting time of year. And if you're a hockey fan, this is what it's all about. Best time of year to watch hockey. Best time of year to experience hockey. And looking forward to getting things rolling here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nick Kieser, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing good, yeah. Playoff hockey is back here in town. And it feels a lot better with playoff hockey going on. I always have a schedule of, you know what, I used to be in school and things used to be circular around that for me, and now the playoff hockey is back in town. We've known that a lot over the last 25 years. What is it now? 16 times, I think? Something like that. Yeah, so playoff hockey's back in town. Couldn't be happier to be covering this team in the first full season pro-wise for me. I've watched this team for a long time, but yeah, fun stuff. I would have to say we're odds are Vancouver Canucks, as Joe was poking at me yesterday, he's saying, hey, Kieser, report right, because I had my update was wrong, which was hysterical. But yeah, glad that postseason hockey is here. Exciting hockey the other night as well to end out the regular season for some teams. But yeah, more importantly, the team in town here is looking really good right now.
Yep, so we'll see tonight. So if you're kind of standings watching tonight, so Dallas plays against the St. Louis Blues. And basically, it's pretty simple now at this point. If Dallas gets at least a point tonight against the Blues, they will clinch the number one spot in the West, and they'll be taking on the LA Kings in Wild Card 2 or the Vegas Golden Knights, but probably LA. We'll see what happens. If the Dallas Stars lose in regulation tonight, then that gives Vancouver an opportunity tomorrow to where if they win against Winnipeg, they would be the number one seed in the West. And the Predators would take on the Dallas Stars in the first round on the road. So we know it's going to be either Vancouver or Dallas. The odds would tell you Vancouver is the most likely opponent. And we'll see what Dallas has to say about that tonight. But most likely going to be a Vancouver-Nashville series. And when you look at it, Nick, I mean, it's kind of either way. I mean, it's pick your poison to a certain degree. Obviously, both very good teams. Both teams that are going to finish either at the top or right near the top of the Western Conference. So you're going to start on the road. You're going to be the underdog in the series, all those things that we've talked about with the Predators. But looking like the travel might have to be a big part of this too, going out to the Pacific Northwest if it's Vancouver. And I got to say, like if it's the Canucks and that ends up being the matchup, it's a really intriguing matchup to me. And they've got obviously four guys that really stand out in terms of their skaters, with Quinn Hughes, who's probably going to win the Norris Trophy, JT Miller, who has over 100 points, Elias Pettersson, who's a great player, and Brock Besser, who scored 40 goals this year. So that's kind of your big four for Vancouver. And then there's Thatcher Demko coming back in net, and we'll see. He's a really good goalie. We'll see what he looks like. He's been off for a while now. But kind of a star-studded, heavy, kind of reliant on the top of their lineup in terms of their offensive production. But they've got other guys, you know, Hoglander, had a really good year. Dakota Joshua's had a really good year. So it's a really interesting matchup for the Predators that I will say, and we'll save our predictions to when the matchup actually becomes official, and we'll do that another time. But I will say, I think the Predators, if it's Vancouver, they got a chance in this series.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I think that looking back at the regular season for the Predators against the Vancouver Canucks, the Canucks were one of two teams the Predators could not beat all season for what it's worth. They also could not beat the Boston Bruins earlier this year as well. They went 0-2 against the Bruins, 0-3 against the Vancouver Canucks. And in that time frame, the Predators were outscored 13-6, by the way. And I thought they looked really bad at times here in Nashville against that team. And a disappointing loss for sure. I just wrote a story at thegamenashville.com as well, so go check that out. I'm going to reference this really quickly because I think it's telling from Andrew Burnett about how he felt about facing this team, and I wonder how much that's changed. Unfortunately, I don't get to go ask him about that today, but at some point I certainly will ask him more about that. But look, he said, you know, back in November, December, he said, look, they're a really talented team. Lots of weapons. They've also got, you know, the capability to really make you pay for what those mistakes look like for you, whatever they may be. And I think that when those games were huge for Nashville early on, they had self-inflicted wounds way too often. That's what I meant there. But I really think for the leadership and the camaraderie for this group, that's been the biggest difference as of late. Now, how does that look in the postseason? That's yet to be seen. We're not going to know what that group looks like just yet. But look, you got three cup winners on your team: McDonough, Shin, O'Reilly, guys that have done some really, really good jobs in long postseason stretches. And I think Vancouver has one in Ian Cole, from what I remember looking at, and then Rick Tocchet, their coach, won in 1992, who I didn't know this, by the way, fun fact, he led the team in scoring in the Stanley Cup final that year as they swept the Chicago Blackhawks with 8 points.
Big game player.
Yeah, he was, and he is a really good coach, and Brunette gave him kudos last time as well. But you know what was more telling to me was that Roman Josi said this group had more in them at that time when they lost to this team. And so, yeah, they've turned things around, Robbie, but the biggest question is, how do they handle a team that is certainly, in other facets, a little more talented, but also the playoff experience, huge difference. Huge difference for both of these teams. The Canucks go into the postseason, by the way, with the least amount of playoff experience out of anybody. I had 17 teams listed that I figured out. I did the math, and it was factored in with some guys that are expected to come back, but guys that are not rostered currently. Vancouver's dead last. They have 468 games of experience of playing in the playoffs, and most of that is from those vets they've added lately.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's the experience part of it for the Predators. O'Reilly's played a ton of playoff games. McDonough's played almost as much as anybody in the playoffs. Shen's played a lot. Josi's played a lot. Forsberg's played a lot. You know, they've got a lot of guys that have significant playoff experience. So, you know, it's not everything. Like, I do think we get into this time of year and people tend to overblow stuff. Like, I've heard a lot this week of, well, the Predators went 0-3 against Vancouver. And it's like, well, yes, but they haven't played them since before Christmas. That's a long time ago. I mean, you're talking over 4 months since they played Vancouver. So I think we would all agree the Predators are a little bit different team than they were back then. I think Vancouver, to certain degrees, is a little bit different. And we'll see, you know, it's all about matchups, rising to the occasion, who can get hot in the playoffs, all those things. So I think a lot of times we try to equate too much the regular season as to what that's automatically going to translate to come playoff time. And I've seen it on both sides. I've seen teams that have dominated teams in the regular season, and that domination has continued into the playoffs. I've seen teams dominate teams in the regular season, and then they get swept by that team in the playoffs. So the playoffs are a completely different animal. It's the best kind of hockey there is. It's so difficult out there to generate scoring chances, and when you do, you got to find a way to capitalize on it. So I'm very interested to see how the Predators respond to this. And I will say, like, you know, it's not like there's no pressure on the Predators, because if you're Forsberg, if you're Josi, McDonough, O'Reilly, there's only so many more kicks at the can of this thing that you got. And I think you got to recognize that, you know, throw Nyquist into that mix too. You recognize that if you're these players. So there is pressure that comes along with that. There's pressure on UC Saros. Like, what's his future going to look like? How much does this postseason run play into that? There's a lot of things that you have to factor in. But there's no question about it, as a team, like team-wide pressure from Nashville, when you compare it to Vancouver, the pressure's on the Canucks. And I know that they're, you know, a little bit of a younger team. They do have some veteran guys. But when you play in a Canadian market, when you finish either number one or number two in the regular season, there's an expectation that comes with that. So if I'm the Predators, I'm leaning into that. I'm leaning into the underdog role. I'm leaning into, you know, the idea of applying as much pressure as you possibly can on Vancouver and letting things go from there. But, you know, I've said it. I think they got a chance in this series. And if they can play the way they played down the stretch, they're going to give themselves at least a chance against anybody.
Yeah, they absolutely will. And just for the age, just this average here that you want to look at, the Preds' average age of their team is 29. It was 28 earlier this year. That was pretty high. Still in the NHL, this is not a young team. Once again, we've screamed this all year at everybody. Vancouver is also, their average age is 28. So I find that interesting. But look, going back to that playoff experience, Robbie, I think it's a big deal just to look at who's done the winning. And also, there's only a few guys really on the Preds that have not played in the postseason. You've got essentially, you know, Spencer Stastny, who's up here now, which I think he's going to do just fine. He's going to look completely good. I mean, he's been playing like a seasoned vet for sure. And, I mean, there's only a few other faces as well that I don't think have played. You got Tommy Novak, Cole Smith, Luke Evangelista. I mean, Kevin Lankinen's not played, but I doubt we see him. If we have to see him, great. But if not, that's a lot better for sure. But when you have two guys that have won Stanley Cups, you've got one that won one and also won the Conn Smythe, that's what's going to set you apart. It's what can these guys do for you and ultimately do for that locker room moving forward, and also that relentless nature, right? You know, that's what you have to kind of go off of here if you're the Nashville Predators. And look, Tyson Barrie's still around too. I mean, I hate to say it, he's got 46 games of playoff experience. You got secret agent Anthony Beauvillier as well, who's got 49 games under his belt and played really good with the Islanders. So the Preds are front loaded, quite frankly, and I'm excited to see how these guys look coming out of the gates, regardless of whoever they play. And we all know it's probably gonna be Vancouver, and we're gonna have those 9:30 or 10:30 game starts, which is gonna make us miserable running this early morning program on 102.5 The Game. But yeah, so stay tuned for that. Our 6 a.m. hours may be really interesting moving forward. So, yeah, fun stuff there, Robbie, but certainly excited that there is playoff hockey back in Nashville.
But we'll continue the discussion on the playoffs. What if it's Dallas? What if that's the opponent? We'll get into that coming up next. Look more ahead at the possible Vancouver matchup as well. Like I said, this is the best time of the year to be a hockey fan, and we're glad to have you on the ride with us. More coming up next, Preds Insiders. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. The Dallas Stars in action tonight. They're taking on the St. Louis Blues. If Dallas gets a point, then they are the top spot in the Western Conference, and the Predators will be locked in against the Vancouver Canucks. But what if they don't? What if St. Louis wins tonight in regulation and Vancouver wins tomorrow night against Winnipeg and the roles flip? That would mean that the Dallas Stars, while winning the Central, would be second overall in the West. Vancouver would be first. And because the Predators are locked into the first wildcard spot, that means they would be going to Dallas at that point. So, Nick, we've kind of gone through the highlights of a Vancouver matchup. What if it's the Dallas Stars? What stands out to you about the Stars and the matchup that presents for the Nashville Predators?
Well, aside from it possibly being a revenge tour for Matt Duchene, quite frankly, I think the Stars are the deepest team in the playoffs. They've got four lines that roll really deep and have been effective all season long. I'll tell you one player that I would be interested to watch, I think, the most out of any player on their roster is Wyatt Johnston. That kid is insane. He played great this year. And more importantly, he was a weapon that they developed, and he was drafted later too. So Dallas, despite having success the last few seasons, really the last, 10 years, they've played pretty well. Last five, they've played exceptionally well, especially going as far as they did in the bubble series as well. But drafting has gone well for them. They even have a guy named Maverick Bork that I've kind of watched a little bit more of. Yes, the AHL hockey was worth covering some last year. That was good. But I think in terms of what they offer, even defensively, that might be where you could have some mismatches with the Dallas Stars, possibly. So not necessarily that it's better than most teams, but I think the way that the Predators attacked them earlier this year, look, it's certainly feasible that they can beat this team. Is it more likely that they could probably beat a Vancouver team with that defense? Yeah, I really do think so. They do have Zadorov on that back end, as opposed to where Dallas just added, Chris Tanev from the trade deadline. And he's not a bruiser. He is definitely a guy that's a two-way guy, but more importantly, is sound in front of his net. And that's what they have a lot of this year. Dallas is certainly a pretty sound team, and that coaching staff does a really good job as well. And they are definitely the favorites, I think, going in the Western Conference to come out on top and play in that Stanley Cup final, I would say. But, Robbie, I think the biggest challenge for the Preds is if they do get Dallas, how do they handle the offensive threat on the power play? But most importantly, how do they silence that top line as well?
Well, I think Dallas is the best forward group in the league. They don't have the best forwards, but I think as a group, a collection of forwards, they are the best in the league. They just present a lot of matchup problems. They can roll pretty deep with their lines. They've got scoring on all their lines. And that's a really difficult thing to contend with this time of year. Now, having said that, and again, remembering that I don't put a ton of stock into the regular season matchups, you can't totally ignore it, though. Like, I do think the Predators, for the most part, have matched up pretty well against Dallas. There's the obvious outlier there where they got beat 9-2. And that was the game that kind of turned everything on its head for the Predators, and that was their wake-up call, I guess, that they needed. Other than that, you're talking about two wins on the road with Kevin Lankinen in goal against the Stars. Another game at home where you were up by a goal with 13 seconds left and you somehow blew it and lost the game in regulation. So, for the most part, the results have been pretty good against the Stars, and you've matched up reasonably well. So I don't think it's a situation where if it's the Stars, the Predators will be like, oh, God, you're just shaking in your boots. It's the Dallas Stars. Would I pick Dallas to win that series? Yes, I would. I would pick the Stars to win the series against the Predators. But I do think the Predators, there's kind of a natural rivalry there anyway, and sometimes you just never know what happens in those type of series. So, look, I think Dallas is going to take care of business tonight. I think they're going to win. I think that they'll probably punch their ticket as the number one seed in the Western Conference at that point, and it'll be Vancouver. But until it's mathematically not a possibility, you've got to consider it. And the one part that you would feel good about, and this is interesting, like, because I think players kind of think this way, I doubt very seriously that the Predators are in the locker room right now saying, guys, we better be praying it's Vancouver, like, because we don't want any part of the Stars. Like, I doubt very seriously that's what they're saying. A more realistic conversation was probably, yeah, I wouldn't mind it being the Dallas Stars because I don't want to hop on a plane for 5 hours both ways. Like, that's because I'm just telling you, it sounds like an awful plane.
Yeah, no, I told y'all it'd be 12,000 miles if they play seven games against those Vancouver Canucks,
It's a lot of travel. So I'm interested to see how that ends up shaking out. Stars are really good. I picked the Stars before the season to win the Cup. So they've got the makings of a Stanley Cup winner. They've got good depth. And the thing that I think made them an attractive matchup, or at least maybe a more attractive matchup a few weeks ago, was that their goalie was not playing well. Jake Oettinger wasn't having a good year, especially by his standards. And lately, that has flipped. He's played really well, and he looks good, and he looks basically like Jake Oettinger has looked for the most part in his career. So if that's the way he's going to play heading into the playoffs, you're talking about goaltending being a pretty big strength. You're talking about a defense group that's not great. Like, I don't love Dallas's defense. Heiskanen's really good. Suter's not the same player he used to be, but they did add Tanev. They've got some guys back there that can play. And then their forward group is really what separates them. Like, their depth as a forward group is really tough to handle. So they're obviously a really, really good team. On the Vancouver front, like, you know, they've got Quinn Hughes, who's a superstar on the back end. They've got some stars up front in Pettersson and Besser and JT Miller. They're really, really good. So in some ways, they're a little similar, but I do think that the depth that Dallas brings to the table is more imposing than Vancouver.
Yeah, no, it certainly would be. And I'll go back to Jake Oettinger for just a second. And I thought the exact same thing as you did. And I think going up until the beginning of March, he was struggling. You know,
he
didn't look like a very good goaltender. And I thought they'd have to go to Scott Wedgwood for more of their games down the final stretch of the season. You know, around the trade deadline, that was the main question mark, was are they going to get consistent goaltending? And that started to kind of turn around a little bit. But, you know, Jake Oettinger, looking at it, I don't know where he ranks in the NHL. I could probably look at this in just a second. But just in general, in his last 15 games, he's 12-3-0. Yep. I mean, he's a really good goalie. You can't look at him and not say that this kid, he's not been playing well. Well, he's turned it around as of late, and that's pretty scary to see. But look, and I think another factor to kind of just throw in here as well is also the rise of a couple of players on their team that we've not, you know, we've not seen so much in the postseason as often. You know, I'm talking about Robertson is one. You know, Jamie Benn has also stirred the pot as well. But look, I think, like I said, Johnston, he's a guy that really surprised me, I think, at times. And the way that he does it is his playmaking, and he's sneaky good. You know, Rupe Hintz also caused problems for Nashville back in the last time that they played in the he's really good. But last time in the postseason, he stood out to me as probably their best player, best goal scorer, just in that one series. That was, I mean, that was the most, you know, I had seen someone step up like that in the first round lately when the Preds had played them. You know, Miro Heiskanen, I think that was his first season as well in the league when they played against the Predators in the first round and shocked Nashville and won that series. But Dallas looked like the better team then. So, you know, there's not really a vendetta. There's not really a grudge that you hold, you know, out for this one series. Brunette's here. It's a different team. Yeah. So it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, defensively for them, it's how do you penetrate? How do you get behind them? How do you, you know, utilize your strengths in those corners? Because Nashville, those guys learned it, but they learned it late in the year. So how much can they take Dallas to school on offense? Because they got bullied against the Stars. I still think even this season in their own end, you know, it was rough to watch at times. So how can the Predators, you know, be more physical? They have Jeremy Lazan, who, by the way, small note, but a big one, is that he set the new NHL record for the most hits in a single season with 383, I believe. So you have that going for you. You have a physical team. So, Robbie, it's going to be a fun one if they get the Stars. Odds are they're probably going to get Vancouver. We've not seen that since, what, 2011, no. I think. So I was way behind. I wasn't doing anything yet. Still in school watching that team. I remember that was the last series I cried about, I think, I want to say. Something like that.
Ryan Kessler, Alex Burrows. That was quite the series.
The Sedin twins.
So Luongo. How big a deal do you think it is? Let's say it is Vancouver, and let's say they start Sunday. That would mean the Predators would have been off for 6 days.
Yep.
There were rumors out there that it could start Tuesday, and that would have been 8 days.
I think it's going to be Monday.
Could be. We'll see. But let's say Sunday or Monday, there's not a ton of difference.
Right, right.
So how big a deal is the time off in your mind? Is that a huge deal? Do people make too much of that? Could it be a good thing? Like, how do you view the time off that the Predators are getting?
Well, quite frankly, I don't think it matters. You know, with this team, you could look at it and say, yeah, it does, because when they came out of the All-Star break, it made a big difference. They started out really flat, and if they come out flat again, they're probably going to lose in 4 or 5 games. Let's just be honest. You cannot be flat against either Dallas or Vancouver. You just can't. So I think the way and what I would want to see more of this week is when it's open for us to go watch, what is practice like? How much does Andrew Brunette push this team? We've seen them be pushed in practice. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they can do these one-on-one drills in the corners or, I guess, right in the wall. I mean, you can also, you know, see more of these breakout drills, which they need to hammer home for sure. But look, I think as long as they are fine-tuned in practice and it's sort of like game speed, you're not playing against another team, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle, you know, playing against each other, because you also have to manage, you know, not to really say, hey, it's going to happen, but you don't want to get hurt in practice either. You want to stay as healthy as you possibly can. So there is that as well. You want to get physical. You want to challenge each other. From a player perspective, me getting ready for games as well and bigger games, you're trying to be there for each other too. You're trying to point out the flaws and be honest with one another on and off the ice. And so same thing applies here for the Predators, is they have to be honest with themselves. How can they carry over what they did in the season? You know, I thought against the Penguins, they looked okay. I thought at times they looked like the better team, but the Penguins, they were the more desperate team. That was going to happen. They were probably going to lose that game anyway against them because they were trying to get in. Now they're out, but the Preds, Robbie, they have a big week in front of them. They have to treat some of these practices like a game. They have to be honest with one another, and I think that is going to be the biggest difference here going into game one, whenever that is.
Yeah, I mean, the practice part of this is interesting. Like, I would imagine this is probably not an ideal scenario for Andrew Brunette. I mean, this is a situation where I think you'd like a few days off, but probably no more than about 4 or 5. Then you'd like to get back in there. When you start creeping into the 6, 7 days off territory, I think you worry about rust. You worry about it maybe being too much. I've said this a couple times. There is a difference between coming out of like the bye week break or the All-Star break than this. Like, they're at least practicing, so that does help. But sometimes we see this happen. Like, we see it happen, I think, more often in the playoffs when a team like sweeps somebody in the first round and then they are playing their second round series and they've been off for 9 or 10 days. Sometimes it takes them a game or two to get going again. And the thing is, in the playoffs, you don't really have a game or two to wait, right? Like, I mean, 4 games, you're done. So I'm interested to see how the Preds handle that this week. I would assume, I mean, they practice today. I would assume Thursday's practice will probably be pretty intense, and then we'll see where things go from there. And, you know, you can't replicate game speed. You certainly can't replicate playoff game speed in practice. But as long as you're, you know, the main thing is, like, the style of play, the way that they want to play the game. Can you keep the system sharp? Can you keep your reads sharp? I mean, it's, there's a lot of it. I think the intensity level is going to take care of itself. Like, it's the playoffs. And the Predators, from an intensity standpoint, I think are going to be ready to go. What I worry about more is execution. Like, can you continue to execute at a high level? And that's what I believe Andrew Brunette and the Preds will focus on a lot this week, is keeping the execution sharp, because you don't want to go into a slump where, I mean, you're flubbing the puck all over the place. You can't get the shots you want to create. You're not executing simple tape-to-tape passes. Like, there's a lot of things that you've got to make sure that stay sharp this time of year. So I think that's probably what you'll see them work on at practice this week. Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation with Max Herz that they had on the Chase and Big Joe show this morning, looking ahead to the playoffs and the Predators' potential opponents in the playoffs as well. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
A classic for sure. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here on this Wednesday, Predators with a little time off before the playoffs begin. We say hello now to Max Herz, who you have heard all year long on the pre and post game and the intermissions. He's done a fantastic job. I always enjoy in Jack Daniel's Barrel House when I can hear the words "Preds win" and the crowd goes wild. Max, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Chase. The thing I take the most pride in about hosting those games is all the people who get to hear me in the bathroom at the game. That's always
nice. Well, and they see my face and Joe's face, so there you go. But that's another story for another day. So the Predators are kind of in a wait and see now, and I know they're going to practice some, but how beneficial do you think it is to have, you know, what could potentially be a full week off between games and starting the playoffs?
Yeah, I feel like it's been almost exclusively advertised as a negative in terms of the way it's been talked about, but I think there are definitely positives to it. The practice that the team had last Thursday, I'm making sure I have my days of the week right, last Thursday, in between the game where they clinched the playoffs on Tuesday at home against the Jets, and then the weekend back-to-back that they swept that started in Chicago. It was the first time in what felt like forever that they had had two off days in a row that didn't include a Sunday. So, like, it was really kind of a deep breath time for the team on Wednesday. They had clinched the night before. And then Thursday, they got after it, and they did basically every drill that they have in their arsenal. They did every single aspect of their game. And based on what Barry Trotz said to Jared on our station last night in his interview, I think they're going to do that and even more today. And last week, a very fun part of the post-game shows on the road, and I hope the late-night people who get some of these games listen to this. When the team goes on the road, sometimes there are reporters who, like, they're just there to go into the visiting locker room and get a quote or two.
Yeah.
And some of them produce very funny answers because these people have no idea what does or doesn't make the opposing coach or players tick. And sometimes they just don't even know how to ask a question. But last week on Friday, after the Predators beat the Blackhawks in Chicago, Brunette was talking about having rested players. That was the game where Saros didn't travel, where McDonough and Nyquist didn't travel. And an out-of-town reporter followed up on that, like, we need a little bit of rest comment from Brunette just to make sure we're in the right place. And the reporter kind of goes, I think half is a joke, so no more battle drills in practice this week. And Bruno was, like, offended, as he should be. And he goes, no, that's part of our team identity. And I absolutely loved it. But that's the type of thing they'll be doing this week.
Talking to the great Max Herz. Max, how was your return to Pittsburgh?
It was great. I had a great time. Got to see some of my friends, which was awesome. It was my first time covering a game there, and I'm from there, as you said, but my attachment to hockey in Pittsburgh is much more to the Igloo, which was an iconic classic NHL venue, and not as much the new place, but of course I still follow that team closely. It was great to be there, and it's great to be in the booth with Pete and Hal, which is an opportunity that I never had before, and I hope I get to do throughout the playoffs here as well.
All right, so at the trade deadline, the Preds acquired several guys, and besides the stars we know of, the O'Reilly, Yossi, and Forsberg, who's one guy, Max, they picked up in the trade deadline who you think is going to be invaluable in the playoffs, a guy that just is going to bring so much, maybe take them to the next level? Is there one guy that sticks out with you that they picked up?
I think Zucker fits into that class of the O'Reilly, Schenn, Nyquist offseason type acquisitions in terms of veteran guy who is an incredibly well-liked player around the league, fits in really well in the locker room, and also he's a sandpaper guy too, which O'Reilly has some of that, and of course that's Luke Schenn's entire game, but to have a veteran who's who's a middle six guy and ends up in the net trying to come back in that game on Monday night and ends up with the 10-minute misconduct for abusive officials out of it, which I still don't even know what happened, but like it's stuff like that in a game where they've already clinched. Like, this guy is a massive part of the group right now, and I don't think you can overlook Bevilier either, especially if the Preds play the Canucks, who were his employer at the beginning of the season.
How quick do you think, Max, the hook will be on Saros if he doesn't have it? I mean, and you know, the playoffs, you know, you're not guaranteed another day for the most part. How soon will there be a hook for him if he, like, two goals given up in the first 5 minutes of a game?
No, I don't think he would be pulled in a game unless it's a wash. And any time he were to be pulled, there would be no question that he would start the next game. As good as Kevin Lankinen is, there would be no situation where they'd go to him.
But do you buy, Max Herz is with us, do you buy into, and you know, I know I've asked Andrew Burnett this, that you do have to have both guys because it's a long, hard road to get to the Stanley Cup final and to win the Stanley Cup. You know, we've seen it. I remember Pittsburgh a few years ago used both goalies, and you remember when Thomas Vokoun was with them, you know, that he had some moments. So how important is it to keep Lankinen fresh just in case he's ready to go, because you might have to go to both guys?
Yeah, it's an extreme luxury that they have a backup who is, first of all, a really good backup and arguably one of the best, certainly one of the three best backups in the NHL, along with whichever of the Bruins goalies you want to call the backup, and Anthony Stolarz from Florida. I think Lankinen is probably second behind, I guess, Ullmark is the backup at Boston, which is insane because he won the Vezina here, but I think Lankinen is number two, and they made a decision at the trade deadline. There are teams that would have wanted him. He probably would have been the New Jersey Devils starter if they could have found a way to get him the rest of the season, and instead they had to ride Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen, which was an absolute disaster, and the Devils are cleaning out their lockers today. So they decided to keep Lankinen, which I think was a great move. He started five games since then. He went 3-2. And he won the team some really important games, including a road shutout win against the Florida Panthers, who are probably the favorite to win the Eastern Conference going into the playoffs. It's sad to think about because Lankinen's been so great, but he is a free agent this offseason. I imagine there are teams that see him as at least a 1B and would want to give him a contract, hopefully for his sake, with multiple years of term, which he had 2 1-year deals with the Preds and decided to stay this year rather than test free agency last summer. So this is just me singing his praises, but to answer your question, yes, it is unbelievably valuable that they have him. And that's a big part of the reason why they decided to keep him, because they knew that they have a chance to go deep in the playoffs here.
Max, sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hey, Chase. Sorry, buddy. Hey, Max, how does this look? They're going to play Vancouver. How do the Preds match up with Vancouver?
We actually don't know, Joe, that they're going to play Vancouver.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Go ahead.
The Preds have not played the Canucks since before New Year's, which I think is fine because the Canucks have not seen the current Preds. But if I can go back again to what Barry Trotz said yesterday with Jared, pretty similar teams, which I think speaks well to the Preds because people have been praising the Canucks all season. But two teams with two head coaches in their first full seasons. Rick Tocchet became the Canucks coach late in last season. Both teams are fast. Both teams are pretty deep. Both teams are physical. And now that Thatcher Demko is back for the Canucks, both teams have their goalies going too. So I think the area where the Preds have the potential advantage is experience. A lot of that experience is not with the Preds for a lot of the Preds players in the playoffs, but that doesn't make a difference once you get there. So that's a big part of the reason why I thought this was the most favorable matchup for the Preds going back over a month. We are a Stars win over the Blues tonight, or even a Stars overtime loss to the Blues tonight, away from being able to lock that in, Preds Canucks first round. So, I think it would be a lot of fun, and I think the Canucks will end up winning the awards that the Preds have people who most deserve, and we won't know the winners of the awards until after the playoffs, but Rick Tocchet is the heavy winner for Coach of the Year, and Quinn Hughes is the heavy favorite for the Norris. I think if it were to be just based on the second half, and maybe the entire season too, for Andrew Brunette, I think he's the Coach of the Year in the NHL. And if you're to just look at the second half, I think Roman Josi has been the best defenseman by far. So that adds a little bit of head-to-head flavor, which is fun. But no, I think it would be a lot of fun. Obviously, they have one previous playoff meeting, so that's some fun history that will come back up here in the 25th mm-hmm. anniversary season for our fans. Vancouver's a great city. Obviously, it's far away, which stinks, which makes it hard for our fans to get there. But, I think it would be a really fun matchup. I think it would be more fun in every way than Dallas, to be honest with you. So Let's hope the Stars don't get punked by the Blues tonight.
Well, Max, appreciate it as always. It's going to be a fun ride, and we will be catching up with you usually on Mondays, talking through all of it. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And thank you, Joe, for my weird intro. I'm not offended by it.
Okay. I don't know what he's talking about, man.
You called him weird. That's what he's talking about.
We're all weird, man. I know. We're all weird. Love you, Max, more than you'll ever know.
I'm not offended. I love you, too.
More than you'll ever know.
That was Max Herz with Chase and Big Joe this morning. Appreciate Max for that conversation. We'll wrap up our thoughts on the Predators and the first-round potential opponents coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday evening. The Preds in action in the first round of the playoffs coming up. Opponent yet to be determined. We've gone through the Vancouver possibility, the Dallas possibility. Nick, regardless of who it is, we know that when this time of year comes around, you need your superstar players to be your superstar players, number one. And that's the number one key. Like, they need Saros to be great. They need Philip Forsberg to play the way he's played all year. They need Roman Josi to play the way he's played in the second half of the season. But in addition to that, you're going to need other players up and down the lineup to step up with timely goals, big hits, good efforts on the penalty kill. There's so many of the small details add up to mattering a lot come playoff time. So with that in mind, as you look at this Predators team, regardless of who the matchup is, who's maybe a player or two that comes to mind that is not at the, it's not Philip Forsberg, it's not Roman Josi, but some under the radar guys who are going to have to come up big in the playoffs if the Predators hope to advance to the second round.
I think one player that was possibly on the move at the deadline that did not get traded, and I have to start off here because it was just the first one that I thought of, and I have a couple other quick ones. I think Alex Carrier has to have a good playoff series. This cannot be the, in reference to Ryan Ellis being bullied, this cannot be what Alex has to go through. You know, he's with someone that is the most physical player in the NHL stat-wise. He's also going to fight for you as well. That's Jeremy Lazan. But I think that for Carrier, he's got to be a little sharper with the puck. You know, he does a good job at keeping basic stuff really good. And I think that's what you got to do. Now, for his breakouts, I'd like to see him just keep those as quick as possible and also as thorough as possible. So I think Alex has to look good in front of UC Soros, Kevin Lankinen, if he ever is in there. You know, Carrier's not a guy that, you know, does too dumb of things, but at times he's, you know, he's shown me that he's not trustworthy. And I think that's what you got to weigh, is who's out there at the time that you need him to be there. And sometimes Carrier, you know, i.e. with Lazon as well, they're not the most responsible guys at times, and that's a big challenge. But I think what they do well is they play well together. So you have to keep that consistent. Another player I'd like to see more out of that's already shown us a lot since he got called up was Mark Jankowski. You know, he has been a workhorse, and he was in Milwaukee when I was up there. He was highly coveted. The fans love him, but also the players were raving to me about his leadership on and off the ice, but also what he does on the ice, and he's done that here in Nashville as well. So more of that is going to be good. There's been no issues really ever since he's been in Nashville. He's been a perfect third or second line guy. Wherever you plug him in, he's phenomenal, does a great job. Another guy for me that if he does get a chance to play would be Dante Fabbro, 100%, if he gets to play. We don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe he makes a case this week at practice for, hey, I've been here, I've done this, I can be a guy that plays that third line or maybe plays with Roman Josi. I don't know what he's going to do in the postseason, Robbie. If he does get a chance to play, I think you and I would agree he's probably not going to get the game one nod to play unless there's an injury we don't know about.
Correct.
But I think he is someone that has to showcase, I'm responsible enough to be out there in the biggest moments of the game. And unfortunately, at times this year, he's had turnovers that have led to goals, that have also led to some huge missed opportunities as well for Nashville. And I think he's a guy that, given the opportunity in the postseason, this is a chance for him to capitalize and make his claim again. Now, he got a contract at the deadline. How can he showcase that he belongs in Nashville? If he gets the chance, I hope he shows us why he may belong here. But Robbie, those are my three guys just to look out for. Do you have anyone else that comes to mind?
Well, Novak. I think Novak for sure. I mean, you know, I think for the most part what you're going to get from O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist. Now, it is going to be more difficult for those guys in the playoffs. A lot of it's about matchups, but can you break through that? I still feel pretty good about those guys. But they're going to need secondary scoring. And the most likely candidates from a forward perspective to provide that are Novak and Evangelista. So, like, those two together, it's the first time they're both playing in the playoffs. And some guys, that doesn't matter. They react to it well. And at the end of the day, it is hockey. I mean, you played hockey all your life, and you know that sometimes I think you can overcomplicate things. At the end of the day, you are playing hockey. But everything's quicker. Like, you got to make decisions a little bit quicker. There's a little less room out there to operate. So can Novak and Evangelista really kind of hone in and score some big goals? Like, they don't, neither one of those guys have to have, you know, 9 points in seven games coming up in a seven game series. But can you score a big power play goal here when the momentum is kind of turned around against you? Can you have a shift or two in the offensive zone that flips the momentum back to your side? When there's a loose puck in the crease and you're one-on-one with somebody, can you make a play and beat somebody and score a goal? Like, those little things add up to huge things at the end of the day. And both of those guys, albeit on different units, are going to be really important on the power play. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, this time of year, everybody just assumes that nobody calls penalties anymore, which I do think the penalties have a tendency of going down in the playoffs. But they are called, and when they are called, a lot of times that's the difference in a playoff series, is can you stop the other team's power play, and when you get your own chances, can you find a way to convert at a pretty good rate? If you do that, you're probably going to like the result at the end of the series. So it's too simplistic to boil it down just to special teams, but we've seen it. I mean, the Predators, you brought up that Dallas series in 2019. I think they were like 1-for-19 on the power play.
Yeah, they were
bad.
Well,
if you do that, you're not going to win the series. I'm here to tell you. Like, you're not going to win the series.
Saw plenty of Adam Vingan gifts from that series.
So, there's a lot of pressure on the power play to continue to produce. They finished over 21%, which was 16th in the league. So, they've been an average power play, but a lot of pressure on that. And we'll see if they can handle that. So, those would be my two players that I kind of talk about there. That's going to do it for us today. We're going to see, hopefully tonight, who the playoff matchup will be, and actually, you know, we will, unless Dallas loses in regulation, we will know for sure what the playoff matchup looks like tonight. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to round one of the playoffs, and we'll have you covered all show long here on Preds Insiders and throughout the playoff run on 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody has a great night. Penalty Box Radio up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.